The sermon this morning will refer to all four readings, the three readings, plus Psalm 23. I begin with repeating a few of the verses from Revelation 7, verses 13, 14, and 17. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen." The way I have aligned these four readings in the back page, the sermon notes, is from the oldest passage to the most recent passage. First, Psalm 23. And then in our Lord's ministry and teaching in his life here on earth, John 10. And then after our Lord died and rose and ascended into heaven, that's when Acts takes place, that reading from Acts 20. And finally, in the revelation to St. John, looking forwards when Christ comes in glory, Revelation 7. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. When we say the Lord is my shepherd, it means God's in charge of us. He's my shepherd. We shall not want, because he's looking over me. And we always can remember that when all four letters of that name, Lord, are capitalized, L-O-R-D, that is the name of God, Yahweh. Yahweh is my shepherd. And Jesus is the Son. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is that Yahweh, the one true God. And it says there in Psalm 23, he will lead me for his name's sake. That means it's not because I'm good. It's not because the shepherd, the sheep, are so smart or wise on their own that, of course, we should have a shepherd. No, it's not that. He leads us for his name's sake. He leads us for the purpose of his promises and his covenant with his people. So many times in the Old Testament, God to Moses and others down the line and through the prophets, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who made the promises to those people. And my promises stand sure and certain." Promises that he would send a Messiah, a Savior. Those promises are good. This is the true God. And the psalmist says, David says, "I will not fear." And there's several things he says he does not fear if you look at those verses. He does not fear death. He does not fear evil. He does not fear enemies. He has no fear of those. His shepherd is taking care of him. In fact, right in front of his enemies, he prepares a table for him. Even when his peoples are faced with their enemies, God is there preparing everything they need. And in this life, and in death, what follows is his mercy and goodness. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall live in the house of the Lord forever. His mercy and goodness is with us in this life and into eternity. His mercy and goodness is always with us. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, was born the Virgin Mary, grew up, and in his ministry, He called people to follow him. He is the Lord, and he calls. Now think again to Jesus being our shepherd and the sheep. He calls to his sheep. They are wandering, they're lost, they're hurt. And Jesus is the one who calls and gives voice. And he says, and they hear me and follow. We don't call out to Jesus first. He calls to us. And Jesus gives us life, and he gives us protection. We need to remember that. He gives us life, and he gives us protection. Towards the end of that gospel reading, he said, my Father who has given them to me, the sheep, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Nobody can snatch or hurt God's people. He is in charge. That doesn't mean that we don't have illnesses or setbacks or struggles in this life. But it means that God is with us right in the middle of that. That is a promise. And no evil thing can snatch us away from God forever. No. We may suffer for a while, but God's always present for eternity for us. There is no power over the Father. There is no power over the Son. He says, I and the Father are one. And what the Father has given to Jesus cannot be taken away. We should rest in this confidence that we have heard his voice and are hearing his voice. He's calling to us, and we believe Jesus is our shepherd, and that whatever may happen in life, that relationship with Jesus cannot be broken because he has made it. He created it. He called it. Our Lord Jesus suffered, died, and rose, and ascended into heaven. And he set out his disciples, his church, to bear witness and testimony to what Jesus had done to save the world. And that reading from Acts 20 was time towards the end of Paul's travels that he controlled. And he had been in Ephesus for 2 years, teaching and preaching. And when it says that he called together the elders of the church in Acts 20, he called together the leaders, the pastors. He called together the pastors that he had trained from that, you might say, Ephesus circuit. And he gave them his farewell because, as we read, the Holy Spirit had showed him he would not see them again. He knew that something was going to happen. He would not be free again. He would be under arrest and control for the rest of his ministry. He would not see them again. And he said to those pastors, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And that overseers, shepherds. Has made you shepherds to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. With the blood of the Son of God, he purchased the church, his people, his sheep. And so there is the message from Paul to those pastors in the Ephesus area. I've taught you and I've trained you. Now these are God's precious people, whom Jesus died for. Stay with them. And then looking ahead, in Revelation 7, when John was given the visions of what was going to happen, did the people that those come through the tribulation by their own good. It's important.
No.
They wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. The honor and glory and joy at the end is not what you or I may do, even nice things as Christians, or even if someone is tortured and martyred for the faith. That person is still depending not on his own or her own faith, like, I'm strong enough, I can do it. But that person, he and she, is looking towards the blood of the Lamb. In the Lamb of Christ, my robes are washed. Even through the tribulation, my robes are washed in Christ. And I look to him. Verse 17 of that passage in Revelation 7, the Lamb is their shepherd. The Lamb is their shepherd. He is a lamb in that he was the sacrifice to save the world from their sins. As John the Baptizer said at the beginning of John, the Gospel of John, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And at the end, when we are gathered together, we will remember Jesus has died and risen for us. And in him, my sins are gone. And that is why I'm here in heaven. And he is my shepherd. From King David's time, about 1000 BC, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. To the time of our Lord's ministry on earth, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. To the beginnings of the early church, as recorded in Acts, God gives shepherds for his people, whom he died for, he purchased with his own blood. And we're living yet in that day, in that ministry of the apostles going on and on until Jesus comes again. And then all will know. Jesus has died. He is risen. Our sins are forgiven because of the Lamb who shepherded us into heaven and brought us there. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for your promises, which are certain and sure, and which you made to David and to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their whole clan, as it turned into the people of Israel. And even earlier, as you promised to Adam and Eve to send one who would step on the head of the serpent. Thank you for these promises by which we can feel safe and sure in your hands. And thank you for your Son, Jesus, who has fulfilled all these promises, who has defeated sin and Satan and death. Thank you for your church throughout these hundreds and even thousands of years, Heavenly Father. And we're sorry when we and other parts of the church wander, but always call us back to faith in Christ, whose blood, that shed blood, we need to forgive our sins. Call your whole church together to believe in Christ. Only in him will we show up and our names be written in the book of life and happen. Be there at Revelation 7 and other parts of the vision that we will be around the throne of the Lamb, our shepherd also. Bring these things to mind, Heavenly Father. Strengthen our faith each day. All these things we bring to you, Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.